بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، ما بعد. عن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: يتبع الميت ثلاثة، أهله وماله وعمله، فيرجع اثنان ويبقى واحد، يرجع أهله وماله ويبقى عمله. متفق عليه. Before we translate this hadith, just a little bit of background. We find that Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has included this hadith in the chapter Bab al-Mujahada. As we mentioned, Mujahada means, it comes from the word juhud, that which we strive for, that which we make effort upon. And even though this hadith is such that it's just basically one sentence, it is amongst what we refer to as the Jawami' al-Kalim. That is the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wherein he uttered very few words, but which were voluminous in meaning. We find that close to the heart of a person, there are basically three areas in the life of a person in which he makes effort, which he makes juhud, or what he considers to be his capital, or what he considers to be his legacy which he leaves behind. These three areas: one is his wealth. A person tries to capitalize, utilize his effort to amass and collect and accumulate the wealth of this world. For that he makes effort. Likewise, the other area which is close to the heart of a person upon which he makes juhud is his family. Somebody loves his wife, some people love their children, whoever it is. People, their whole lives they are striving, going through difficulty, old age, yet still not putting brakes. By what you're doing it for? I want to leave behind a legacy for my children. I want my sons or my daughters not to have to stretch their hand out to anybody. Many instances gone past the stage of stretching the hand out, still the person is striving, right up to his qabr, right up to his grave. I remember, as I mentioned once on one flight, I met a person over 70 years of age. Elderly person, and he says, you know, I'm still traveling. I went and signed one or two contracts, I opened one or two factories in neighboring countries. My children don't want to leave me. They require me in the business. So this is another area where a person makes juhud, that is upon his family members. And the third is his amal, that is actions, good deeds. A person makes effort to accumulate good deeds for the hereafter. And we find that unfortunately, very often these three types of juhud and these three types of effort are done one at the expense of the other. If a person is striving to accumulate wealth, it normally is at the expense of his amal and his deeds, etc. So referring to these three things, and if you look historically, if you look at examples of the great, great rulers, great, great tyrants of the past, one classical example, Abdul Malik bin Marwan, was a great ruler. He had made dua when he was a young man. When he was a young man, that time the Khalifa was Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So he had made dua to Allah ta'ala, perhaps it was a time of acceptance. And he said that, Ya Allah, I want to have a kingdom as big as the kingdom of Muawiyah. That time he was a poor, simple person. Allah ta'ala made it such, leave kingdom of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. Allah ta'ala gave him a kingdom twice the size of that of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. He was ruling almost three continents. And yet, he ruled for 21 years. When the time of his death came, when he was in his maradul wafat, when he was in the throes of death, his palace was situated on the banks of a river, and from the window of the palace a sound was coming. So he asked the people that, what is that sound? So when they investigated, they found that it was what we call a dhobi, that is a launderer. In those days, and even up to nowadays, in some villages in India, other places, simple places, when they wash the clothes, they take the clothes and they strike it very, very hard against the rock or against the stone in order to clean the clothes. So the sound, this person was hitting the clothes very hard against the rock, and this was the sound that was traveling from the banks of the river into the palace of Abdul Malik bin Marwan. When he heard the sound, now imagine a person who had twice the kingdom of Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a person who ruled for 21 years, he breathes out a sigh of regret and he said, if only I was a camel shepherd of the Quraysh. I had one plate of food to eat in the morning, one plate of food to eat in the evening, and I had two garments, one which I would wear in summer and protect me, one which was conducive to heat, and one I would wear in winter, which would protect me from the harsh elements. And I was not given this kingdom, if only, with that hasrat, someone who ruled for 21 years over 3 continents, he leaves the world in this condition. When this news of the statement of Abdul Malik bin Marwan reaches Hassan Basri rahmatullah alayhi, Hassan Basri rahmatullah alayhi says, shukr to Allah ta'ala. Praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that how often you will hear a wealthy man who has devoted his life towards the dunya or towards worldly status or position lament and regret at the time of his death, but you will never hear a poor man. You will never hear a poor man who lived a life of poverty at the time of death saying, if only I had wealth, and if only I had palaces, and if only I had riches in this world. Because when the reality of death dawns, then this is something that makes a person realize what is truly valuable, and what effort he should have been making in his life. Likewise, there was another ruler, Mu'tasim Billah, 48 years of age, he passed away. He was a zalim, an oppressor. He had oppressed many, many people at the time of his death. He said, if I had realized how short life was, how short my sojourn in this world was going to be, then I would not have made the type of zulm that I've made. I would have prepared for the year after. His son Wasiq Billah was worse than him, a greater oppressor than him. And Wasiq Billah, Allah gave him a very short life. At the age of 32, he was in the throes of death. And he said at that time, Ya Malla Yazalu Mulkuhu, Irham Man Zala Mulkuhu. That all that being whose kingdom will never ever come to an end, will never know demise, have mercy on the one whose kingdom has already come to an end. But obviously at that time, it is too late to lament. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the mafhum of one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Rubba na'imatin ta'imatin ariyatun kasiyatun yawm al-qiyamah. That how many there will be that will live a delicate, luxurious life in this world, but on the day of judgment they will be hungry, they will be naked, they will be without comfort and luxury. So the question, the challenge that faces every one of us, is this johad, this capacity to make effort, to acquire or to accumulate capital in this world. Every one of us has that capacity. What is the direction, what is the avenue on which we are going to make effort? We think capital, or what they say in Urdu, sarmaya. We think a person's sarmaya is his wealth or his children or his legacy. Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, the message that they came with was that sarmaya and capital of a person is not his financial legacy. The real capital and the real legacy is amal and deeds. This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that referring to a time, referring to the practice of the ancient people, what they would do in the days of ignorance was when a prominent person died, his family and the rest of the pallbearers would carry the janazah to the graveyard, but it would be accompanied with the wealth of this person. His animals or his slaves or whatever he had, they would go with all 3 things. They would go with all this to the graveyard. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, يَتْبَعُ الْمَيِّتَ ثَلَاثَةٌ. The 3 things follow a dead person. 3 things follow a dead person. أَهْلُهُ وَمَالُهُ وَعَمَلُهُ. The 3 areas or avenues on which a person devotes his life. One is his family will accompany him to the graveyard. The other, his actions and his deeds will accompany him to the graveyard. And thirdly, his wealth, referring to the practice of ancient times, will accompany him to the graveyard. One hadith, Aisha radiallahu anha, is the narrator of the hadith. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, more mushfiq, more compassionate, more kind master and teacher, it is impossible to find. How beautifully on one occasion, the same meaning of this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam elaborates upon it. He asked the sahaba a question, أَتَدْرُونَ مَا مَثَلُ أَحَدِكُمْ وَمَثَلُ أَهْلِهِ وَمَالِهِ وَعَمَلِهِ. He said, do you know the example of a person and his wealth, his family and his actions? Sahaba said, Allahu wa Rasulu alam. Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam know best. Faqal, innama mathalu ahadikum wa mathalu malihi wa ahlihi wa waladihi wa amalihi kamathali rajulin lahu thalathatu ikhwatin falamma hadaratuhu alwafat da'a ba'da ikhwatihi faqal innahu qad nazala bi min al-amri ma tara famali indaka wa mali ladayka faqal. Allahu Akbar. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the example of a person in comparison to his wealth, his family and his actions is like a person who had 3 brothers. When he was in the throes of death, when he was in Maradul Wafat, he summoned one of his brothers and he addressed him in the following way. He said, you can see the plight I am now facing. What can you do for me now in this plight? I'm facing death. Death is staring me in the face. What can you do for me now at this point in my life? This person responds, the first brother responds, Laka indi an umarridaka, wala an umillaka, wa an akuma bishanika, fa idha mutta, ghasaltuka, wa kafantuka, wa hamaltuka ma'al hamilin, ahmiluka toran, wa umitu anka toran, fa idha raja'tu, athnaytu alayka bi khairin, inda man yas'aluni anka, هذا أخوه الذي هو أهله فما ترونه فقالوا لا نسمع طائلا يا رسول الله. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, this first brother responds and he says that what I have to offer you is that I will nurse you tirelessly. I will tend to all your affairs. When you pass away, I will bathe you. I will shroud you in the coffin, in the cloth of your coffin. And I will carry you on my shoulders with the others that are carrying you. I will carry you in such a way that I will carry you tirelessly. If there is any obstacle in the way, I will remove it. Thereafter, when I return from the graveyard, whoever asks me about you, I will praise you profusely. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, this brother represents his family. Now, he asked the companions, he asked the sahaba, what is your opinion about the benefit of this brother? So the sahaba responded and they said, Ya Rasulullah, as far as we are concerned, he was not of very much benefit. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, ثُمَّ يَقُولُ لِأَخِيهِ الْآخَرِ. Then he summoned his second brother. أَتَرَى مَا قَدْ نَزَلَ بِي فَمَا لِي لَدَيْكَ وَمَا لِي عِنْدَكَ. He addressed the brother and said, you can see the plight I am now facing. What are you able to do for me? This brother responds, فَيَقُولُ لَيْسَ لَكَ إِنِّي غَنَاءٌ إِلَّا وَأَنْتَ فِي الْأَحْيَاءِ فَإِذَا مِتَّ ذُهِبَ بِكَ فِي مَذْهَبٍ وَذُهِبَ بِي فِي مَذْهَبٍ هَذَا أَخُوهُ الَّذِي هُوَ مَالُهُ كَيْفَ تَرَوْنَهُ قَالُوا لَا يَسْمَعُ طَائِلًا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. This brother responded and he said that now that you are about to leave the world, now that you will no longer be amongst the living, I am of absolutely no benefit to you whatsoever. Once you go towards the dead, I will go in the hands of somebody else. Whilst you are alive, I was at your disposal. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, this is his brother. This brother represents his wealth. Oh my companions, what do you think about him? Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, he was not of very much benefit. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, ثُمَّ يَقُولُ لِأَخِيهِ الْآخَرِ أَتَرَى مَا قَدْ نَزَلَ بِي وَمَا رَدَّ عَلَيَّ أَهْلِي وَمَا لِي فَمَا لِي عِنْدَكَ وَمَا لِي لَدَيْكَ. He summoned the third brother and he said, you saw the response of my family. You saw the response of my wealth. Now, what do you have to offer me in this plight that I am facing? This brother responded and said, أَنَا صَاحِبُكَ فِي لَحْدِكَ وَأَنِيسُكَ فِي وَحْشَتِكَ أَقْعُدُ يَوْمَ الْوَزْنِ فِي مِيزَانِكَ فَأُثَقِّلُ مِيزَانَكَ هَذَا أَخُوهُ الَّذِي هِيَ عَمَلُهُ كَيْفَ تَرَوْنَهُ قَالُوا خَيْرُ أَخٍ وَخَيْرُ صَاحِبٍ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ قَالَ فَإِنَّ الْأَمْرَ هَكَذَا. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, this third brother said to him, I will be your companion in your grave. And I will be your friend in your moments of loneliness. And on the day when the deeds are being weighed, I will sit in your scale of good deeds. And I will lend my weight to it to make it heavier for you. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, this brother represents his actions. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked the Sahaba, what do you think of this brother? They said, Ya Rasulullah, he was the most beneficial and he was the best companion to this person. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, well, the affair is like this. When Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave this example, one Sahabi, his name was Abdullah bin Kurz radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he stood up and he said that, Ya Rasulullah, do you give me permission to formulate a few poems to illustrate the meaning of the scenario which you have shown us? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, yes, I give you permission. One day later he returned and he recited some poems. Inshallah, on another occasion we will continue with that. The poetry that he recited beforehand, I'm saying, obviously poetry in any language, to translate it or to deliver the true meaning of it is difficult. But it was such heartfelt words that the Sahabi uttered and it had such an effect upon the companions. Inshallah, we'll attempt to try and translate it so that we also can benefit from it. Allah give us tawfiq.